live from the Sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, an inspiring today word that will help you battle through today's challenges. Listen and enjoy this exciting message and let the presence of the Lord work through you to reach the world for Jesus Christ. True love, pure worship, real answers.
Stand up a minute. Have you been standing? Loosen up a little bit. And get ready to have a little chat with Jesus. Yeah? Okay? Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. It would be easy if we just said that for about 15 minutes. Just Jesus, 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 and we'd be done and go home. Mm-hmm. That'd probably be the most powerful thing we could do this morning, you know? But everybody loosened up and feeling okay. Get your scratches and itches out. You all right? Praise God. You can sit down. You know, I got real excited this morning because I woke up and I didn't sleep very much, but I woke up and I felt like a high school kid going to the prom. Because I had two pimples on my face. I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta preach this morning and I got two pimples on my face.
That's not fair.
No, you never get pimples. So anyways, I'm excited about this morning. And just listening to the worship. And there were some words in prayer. And usually, I feel like God has really blessed me with giving messages that are illustrative, and He gives me a beginning and a body and an end, and I have some little prop or something, and it just all comes together. And this was totally different. And all week I've just been, this isn't me. And so it's been a challenging week for me to bring this message because it's different for me. You may not understand that, but it's very different for me. And so I've spent a lot of time just seeking the face of God and believing that what we have this morning is what is supposed to be. So in saying that, I think that this message is for someone. It may just be for one person in here, but grab it. Listen to it and grab it and walk in it. I have a few more people leaving, so I'm just pausing and letting them go. Hallelujah. Pastor Rob will be back next week. There was a father, and him and his kids were at the beach, and he had a little four-year-old boy, and his four-year-old boy ran up to Daddy and grabbed Daddy's hand and said, come on, come with me. And he took him down to the shore, and there was this dead seagull. And he said, Daddy, look, what happened to him? And his dad said, what do I do? And he looked at his son and he said, well, son, that seagull, he went to heaven. And the boy thought for a minute and he looked at his dad and he said, well, Dad, did God throw him back down? And you know, kids just get it. They just see things at face value. You tell them something and that's just the way it is. When my son was little, are there any little kids in here? No. When my son was little, I'm not anti-Santa Claus. Santa Claus is cool, you know, big fat guy in a red suit and we have fun with him. But we taught my son that your mommy and daddy blesses you with what you get. Santa Claus is something, and he's fun and neat, but he's not real. Some stranger's not coming in your house through the chimney and leaving you some weird guy. He's not real. So we get a call. He's 3 and a half and at preschool. So we get a call from the preschool teachers. Because my son educates his preschool class that Santa Claus isn't real. So when you tell kids, kids can just say, okay, and they go with it. So then we taught him that it's okay if his friends want to believe. Just let them believe and you don't say anything. But sometimes we have a hard time believing. And as I've been processing Brother Leland's message this week, there was just some things that resonated with me. And I just took them a little deeper. Like I said, this is different for me, but I did. And so I've titled this message, which we're going to learn so much this morning about Jesus. So I've titled this message, oh, isn't this cool? It's Believe. And the definition of believe is to accept as true or real. So if you believe, you say, okay, that's real. Eddie's standing right now on the stage. You can believe that, right? You can accept that I'm right here standing. But sometimes, as supposedly believers, we have a hard time grasping what we say we believe. Go ahead and bring that cross in, Steve. So last week, and it was even in one of the songs, talked about, draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Not means near. So you know what? If I draw near to Pastor Otis, he's near me. So guess what? When you accept Jesus and ask him in your life, he can't get any nearer to you than he is then. So once you draw near to Jesus, he is near to you all the time. So once you make that step and draw nigh to God, it's done. You're nigh to him, he's nigh to you. It doesn't change. And I'm sorry, I didn't have these couple scriptures here, so don't worry about it. I gave her some things last night. So Miss Siva brought in this little cross, and the word says in Luke 9, if any man come after me, let him humble himself, take up his cross, right, and follow me. So to take up your cross means to realize what Jesus did. To take up your cross is a reminder of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Any ladies in here wear a cross necklace? It's okay, you can say, oh, well, strange as this sounds, would you wear a necklace with a casket on it? Would you wear a necklace with a guillotine on it or an electric chair? See, sometimes we don't understand what the cross is. The cross is a representation of death. It was what was used to execute somebody. But I'm wearing it on my neck because I'm a Christian. Right, because to you that cross is a reminder of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. So when you take up your cross, you acknowledge that Jesus died for you. When you humble yourself, you realize that you can't do it. Jesus did it. And I'll take up my cross and I'll follow him. Take up, if you look that up in the Greek, take up means to seize with authority. I am seizing what Jesus did for me. And this morning we were singing those songs, and they were just all about Jesus. And I just felt like there's a blockade that some folks aren't receiving what Jesus is to them this morning. What Jesus has done for them this morning. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus' death on the cross was for our redemption. Christianity from the beginning of time was about embracing an event. The event was Jesus' death on the cross. But through time, Christianity has kind of became a program. And because we've created a program, sometimes we miss what if Jesus wants to do a work in you, or a miracle in your life, or a manifestation for you? Well, we can't do that until Pastor Otis is going to sing usually four songs. We get through the fourth song, and then I know when it's time to get my money for the offering. But what if we had to skip the offering because somebody needed a miracle and God wanted to do it? That would mess us up a little bit. And then even after church, we'd be like, well, they didn't take up an offering. What do I do? Who forgot what? But you can tell Pastor Rob's not here. Because they missed the offering. I don't mean him. So you see.
Tell it.
You know, Mary Hart doeth good like a medicine. And there was this other little boy. He was a lot littler than you. And he said to his dad, he said, Daddy, he said, when I get big and get a job, he said, I'm going to give our preacher as much money as I can. And he said, oh, yeah, why are you going to do that, son? He said, because I hear everyone say he is the poorest preacher there is. See, kids believe. I heard somebody say that. So he's the poorest preacher there is. So what if Jesus wants to do a work, a miracle, a manifestation, but we have it this way, so where does it fit? The gospel of Jesus liberated the world from thinking that Jesus lived in buildings. For the people who walked in temple worship, this messed them up. It was terrible news. But Jesus' followers thought it was great. I need four volunteers. All you got to do is stand somewhere. Siva, that corner. Billy, that corner. Jim, this corner. Leland, that corner. Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. So, Jesus' followers thought it was great because they could spend time with God anytime they wanted. They didn't have to think of him as a holy presence limited to certain people at certain times. So if God's not in the building, where is he? It tickles me when we talk about let's usher in the presence of God. My name's Eddie, right? Everyone know? Actually, Edward. Can I go to Eddie or am I Eddie? I am Eddie. I don't have to go to Eddie. I am Eddie. So when Eddie walks in this room, Eddie's here. Are there any believers in here this morning? Anybody know Jesus as their personal Savior? Okay, do you understand? When you walk in this room, Jesus came with you. He's not here waiting on you. He came with you. So we're not ushering him in. He's here. He came with you. That's a whole nother message. But Stephen said right before they stoned him, the Most High God does not dwell in buildings made by man. So check this out. Here's how it was before Jesus came. Here's the temple, this flame, the anointing. Here's where God's at. So only certain special people could go over here at certain special times, and they could be with God. Billy's back there. Billy couldn't be with God because God's right here. And Jim couldn't be with God because he didn't meet the requirements. Somebody else is right here with God. But when this happened, God was with Leland. And at the same time, God's talking to Leland about how his Monday needs to line up. He's talking to Siva, but Siva's way over there. But while God's talking to Siva, he's having a conversation with Billy. God's omnipotent. Well, if he's talking to Billy and Siva and Leland, what about poor Jim over here? He needs God because his Monday is going to you know where. You ever have a Monday like that? I had one a few weeks ago. But God said, oh, no, I'm right here with you, Jim. But he's with Siva and Billy and Leland, but he's with Jim too. He's not just here. He's not just at church Sunday morning. He's not just with you when you pray. See, he's with you. If you've accepted him, he's with you.
Yes, great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Are you getting that?
Yes,
I need you to believe that. I need you to believe that God is with you. Thank you. You can sit down. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lord.
So right now, God can be speaking to every one of you in here at the same time. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no test or temptation that comes your way. This is from the Message Bible. I love it. Listen to this. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. All you need to remember is that God will never let you down. He'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through. He'll always be there because he's in your corner, in your corner, in your corner, in your corner. He'll never let you down. He'll never give you too much. And he'll always be there to see you through it. And that's what the body of Christ is for getting. That Jesus is here with us. He's not somewhere else anymore. You don't need a time machine to go back and walk with Jesus. People say, oh, if I could walk with Jesus, oh, when I go to heaven. You don't need a time machine to go back and walk with Jesus. There's no such thing as wishing Jesus was here. I just wish he'd touch me. I just wish he'd be with me. I just wish this morning that I get a goosebump when Sister Ivy sings out, I just want a goosebump, Lord. When Jesus was on the earth in the natural body, he said, man, I'm going to go see Peter tonight. So he went over to Pete's house. So what's up, Peter? So he's hanging with Peter. When he was at Peter's, he couldn't go be at Mitch's house at the same time. Because he was at Pete's. So Mitch couldn't visit him. Mitch couldn't visit Jesus because he was hanging with Pete. Pete must have been his favorite. I needed Jesus to talk to me tonight because I'm just going through so much. And it's almost Christmas and there's so many things going on. And just, but Jesus is over at Peter's. Come on, Lord. Today, when you accept Christ, he's with you at all times. See, we need this to understand the power we have in our lives. He is with us. He is at my house, and he is at your house, and he is way down in Texas with our pastor. He is everywhere. You don't have to go somewhere to visit him. Pull that next scripture up, Miss Tina, Ephesians 1:3. You know, they're doing all this advertising now with these gaming systems. They're unreal. And that this virtual reality they have, it's just unreal. And so you can walk into this realm of virtual reality with these games and things. But you see, Jesus is total reality. And somehow we miss that. We think, well, I go to church and do the Christian things and I'm doing the play and doing the VBS. But Jesus isn't something. He's total reality. He's total. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means that when you accept Jesus, he has taken you to another realm. Another realm, that's where I'm going when I die. No. Jesus lives on the inside of you. You're in that realm. That heavenly realm is where you're at. What? Heaven's the place I'm going to go. The heavenly realm is where you're at because Jesus is with you. Think about this and get it down. You're walking in the heavenly realm here because you got Jesus. When we realize these things, we find out why we're missing out on so much. Because I didn't realize I'm in the heavenly realm. I'm the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. I am in the heavenly realm. He dwells in me. I am a king. I am a royal priesthood. I am a chosen generation. No, I just need the pastor to pray for me. But you got to understand who you are. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And I don't know about you folks, but I've heard this preached so many times. I've heard it preached fantastic. But I always hear it preached because it's about the Holy Ghost. But what does that say? You shall receive power. Say that. I shall receive power. I shall receive power. Not power, power. Well, I'm with the Holy Ghost and talking in tongues. You shall receive power. You never hear that part preached. You hear the Holy Ghost, and now you got the tongues, and you go to the. But no, you shall receive power. So when does the Holy Ghost come upon you? When you accept Jesus. And then you receive power. Isn't that amazing? Why do you receive power? Because now you got Jesus and you can live in heavenly places. And you don't always need to get on the prayer chain and have 52 people pray for you because you can do it. If Jesus is at John and Karen's house tonight and they got this huge situation going on And they don't know what they're going to do. Oh, that wasn't a prophecy, guys. I don't know. So they got this huge deal going on. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So Jesus knocks on their door, and he comes in. He said, hey, you put the coffee pot on. I want to visit. Do you think they would know what to do when Jesus left? I think they would probably know what to do when Jesus left. So don't you think sometimes if we got Jesus, we can do it? Because he's going to be at my house tonight. He's going to be, well, I like to watch TV on Sunday, sleep and watch TV. He's going to be taking a nap with me and watching some TV. You see, you don't need more power if you have the indwelling of the Spirit of the living God. Has anyone, I'll show my age a little bit, has anyone in here seen Crocodile Dundee? Ever seen that movie, Crocodile Dundee? Yeah. I think it's maybe the second one when he comes to the New York with his girlfriend, or maybe it's his wife by then, and they're walking down the street. And this bad guy wants to mug him. And he jumps up, and he got a knife about like this, you know. And he jumps up in old Crocodile Dundee and his girlfriend's face, and he says, give me your money. You know, and she goes like, ah. And she looks Crocodile Dundee and says, yeah, he's got a knife. And Crocodile Dundee, with that knife yielding in their face, he looks at the guy and he says, well, that's not a knife. And he pulls out this big 14-inch Bowie knife and says, well, this is a knife. And that guy's like, oh, man, yeah, dude. And he takes off. You see? Well, Dundee wasn't afraid, because what would normally bring somebody fear, he had something bigger and better. When you have something in your face that brings you fear, if you've got something bigger and better, it can't intimidate you. If you get a bad doctor's report and it's in your face, you can say, well, I've got something bigger and better. Yes, hallelujah. When the bills come in and you don't know how you're going to get through the month, you're like, well, I got something bigger and better than money. You've got something bigger and better. His name is Jesus. But you have to believe that. You see, Jesus wants to make each and every person in here, every one of you, powerful, and he wants to make it impossible for you to be intimidated by this world. Yeah. Brother Leland talked last week about getting away from the world, getting away. See, Jesus wants to make it impossible for that world to even intimidate you. He wants to make it possible for you to accomplish God's powerful kingdom business everywhere you set your foot. But the only way you can do that is to understand that Jesus and the heavenly realm is everywhere you go. That's right. Romans 8:9. Just a slick with that. Boom, 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 boom. If you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of this. What's that say? If you're in the Spirit, if you're born again, you can overcome the flesh. You're not in the flesh. But if you're not born again,
The Spirit of Christ doesn't dwell in you. But if you are born again, the Spirit of God dwells in you. So you say, but I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it all the time either. But check this out. I was in an accident, and I broke my heel, and I broke my tibia, fibia, and all kinds of stuff. So I was in this accident, and I couldn't walk. All right. So they gave me crutches because I couldn't walk. Here's my makeshift crutch. So they gave me crutches because I couldn't walk, so I had to have something to lean on. Sitting, looking back there and thinking of Tony. He just got off crutches maybe, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago. He's coming. He couldn't walk. He couldn't do it on his own. He wanted to. I'm sure if he was like me, probably tried to a couple times when he shouldn't have, but he couldn't make it happen. You see, I was weighed down with this cast and too broken in my foot and in my leg to pull off what I wanted and what I needed to do. I wanted to walk, I needed to walk, but I couldn't walk. So some of you are in this spiritual walk and you are weighed down. You are beaten down. You are burdened down. You are trodden down and you want to walk. You need to walk, but you just can't. You say, I want to overcome this. I don't want this problem. I don't want this addiction. I don't want this struggle. I don't want this issue. And I'm doing all I know to do, but I just can't walk on my own. I don't want this problem. I keep promising myself it's going to change and it's going to go away and I'm going to do better, but I don't. So because of this, Jesus gave you a crutch. And it seems long, but it's such a simple message. Jesus gave you this crutch. It's Him. When He saved you, He gave you somebody to hold you up, somebody to lean on, somebody to help carry you through it. But we're so fooled and deceived by the enemy and the things of this world, we think God couldn't be right here wanting to help me. Look what I've done. You know what? God is well aware of each and every one of us in here, the number that sin has done in our life. He knows. He doesn't know. He doesn't know what sin has done to us. Bye, Caritza. He knows what sin has done to you. And He doesn't want you where you're at. And He's saying, here, man, I've made this way for you. I just want you to realize I'm with you all the time. I just want to have a cup of coffee tonight and watch TV. The will of God for us is to be so consumed by Him, we have this supernatural walk that we just float. And everything's great, and we never do anything wrong. But this world is sin, and our flesh is sin, and there's so much sin around us, and sometimes we get consumed with some things, and God realizes without Him helping us, we just get more and more contaminated. But for Him to help us, we have to believe that He's right there. He's right there. But what happens is, remember the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul said, hey, I can't find anything good in my flesh. Man after God's own heart. I can't find anything good in my flesh. It gives us things we don't want. I didn't want two pimples this morning. I didn't have anything to do with that. That just happened, right? Paul said, I can't find anything good in this flesh. But unfortunately, because we've condensed God to a program, we're sometimes taught that God's like this divine policeman hiding behind the billboard, and he's got his radar gun out. Anybody had a speeding ticket? How about this lady used to give people, how many speeding tickets? Here's a different question you don't usually hear asked. How many speeding tickets have you written? God, you know, he's this divine policeman, and he's hiding behind the billboard, and he's got his radar gun out, and he's going to catch every one of us every time we do something we're not supposed to do. He's just trying to catch you messing up. Have you ever felt like sometimes that's the God that gets portrayed? He's just trying to find you messing up. He just wants to give you a speeding ticket. Who wants to have a relationship with someone who's just constantly criticizing you, constantly looking for a bad thing instead of a good thing? Would you be friends with someone like that? It's like you got to be good enough to earn God's friendship. You got to be good enough to earn the presence of the Holy Spirit. If you're not good enough, were you paying attention? Is your mind somewhere else? You're not. You're just not good enough. You're just not good enough to be holy. Guilt will keep you from God. If that is true, and you're not good enough, then the cross was a scandal. This wasn't for what it was supposed to be. If you're not good enough, if you can't measure up, then this was just a scandal. It didn't mean anything. You know, Thanksgiving was this week. Everybody have a great Thanksgiving. We had a great Thanksgiving. And there's this gentleman. He's in his 50s, and I don't know him very well, but my aunt knows him fairly well, you know, it's a topic at different conversations here at Bethel, I've noticed, and kind of we'll talk about homosexuality and this and that, and so this guy's a homosexual, and his dad has disowned him and hates him, and so he didn't have anywhere to go on Thanksgiving. So my aunt said, we have Thanksgiving with my mom, and we're just a small family, and my aunt said to this guy, she said, well, come have Thanksgiving with us. He's like, yeah. She said, yeah, just come have Thanksgiving with us. There wasn't a person in the house that approved of homosexuality except him. But he came, we had a good time, we had Thanksgiving meal together. So that's Jesus. We didn't take out our radar gun and scan him at the door and say, oh, you are a homosexual. Get behind me, Satan. You're not going to set foot across this threshold. This is a holy place. Am I saying homosexuality is okay? No, it's not. But neither's a lot of things that you do. But we got this. So what we have to do, and this is what I love about life groups. If you're not in a life group, find one. I found out that Francis' group does have a couple openings now. Pastor Rob's group that he facilitates, the group I facilitate, there's a couple others. I think Miss Joy Burdett has one. Find a life group. And if you don't have one you fit in, we'll make a new one. Because I know Pastor's been talking about that anyway, so I can say it. Well, if you don't fit in one, well, let's find one for some of you and we'll make you one. So instead of teaching each other how to act more Christian, we need to be teaching each other how to get to know Jesus better so then Jesus can work on us from the inside out. Okay, I got to be getting to the end. I wasn't ready to, but I got to be. I don't think Miss Tina has this one, but Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Wow. Jesus knew you before you were created. I love knowing that because here's something I was told, and I wish I never would have been told, but I, as probably some of you, I was not planned. My folks weren't married, and I was not planned. And they just almost planned not to have me after I was coming. Thank God for grandparents saying, "You can't do that. We'll raise him." But you know what God taught me? I was planned. He knew me before I was created. God knew me. So Jesus, pay attention, Jesus was nothing special to look at. He could walk down the street today and most of you probably wouldn't even recognize him. He probably even had the kind of looks that you may shy away from a little bit. Jesus probably wouldn't fit in with our crowd very well. But this man could silence people without raising his voice. This Jesus, he never bullied. He didn't draw attention to himself. Jesus was real to the very core of his being. That is the person that is dwelling with you. That's who's in here with you. With you. And you say, "Well, I don't feel like it." Well, you know what? I don't always feel like it either. But it's the facts. So you have to believe that. See, you and I, we're not approved by anything that we can do in this entire life. You say, "Well, you know, what if I fed the hungry and clothed the homeless and I've got a medical mission going on and I've got 7 orphanages and we're..." The only thing that makes you worthy is this. None of that makes you measure up. A
I pray 2 hours a day. Or this is the only thing that makes you worthy. What Jesus did for you on the cross, is why you can go boldly to the throne of God with anything you need, with power. Todd, there's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. And Tony, there's nothing you can do to make him love you any less. Just loves us. See, in the body of Christ, Jane, there's only one you. And God made you special just for him. And you are his favorite in the world. I am God's favorite in the entire world too. And he's made me unique and special too. Because before he formed me in the womb, he knew who I was. So don't be in a hurry to do the next thing. And that's where sometimes we get with church. I've been to a few different churches, and I've been on staff with a few churches, and I love this body. I love this house. I love the people here right now. It's my favorite. So when I talked about Jesus not dwelling inside here, or houses built by hands, I did not mean anything against Bethel Worship Center. We need what we have here, and it's growing, and we need it to grow more. But when I said program, sometimes we're just so set in. Church starts at 10, and they worship till 11, and then they're going do this and have a message and children's church practice, and we're thinking what time we're going to get out of here today because they got some little snacks for us, and then we're going down to Chester and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, and to get rid of all that. You see, that's what I'm talking about. Those are all great things, and we need to have them here, and I'm glad we have them and thankful we have the finances to do all that we do. But sometimes we just got to slow down and not be in a hurry for the next thing. Because your next thing could be right now. Your next very thing could be this morning. Your next thing could be an encounter with the living God today. Your next thing could be an encounter with Jesus like you've never felt. And you said, well, I'm a Christian and I knew I had Jesus on the inside, but I've never felt him the way I want to feel him. Or maybe you say, I have no idea. I didn't know. I've never accepted Christ. Maybe, it's your time today for your next thing. See, my job as a teacher is to help you see who the real Jesus is so you can change your life the way he wants it changed. My job's not to tell you what you should and shouldn't do. John chapter 8 says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, Jesus raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And as Jesus is sharing this, he's writing on the ground. And all the accusers are around, and they said, We caught her. We seen her. You notice they didn't bring the man. They caught her in the act. Wonder where the man was. They said, We caught her in the act. We saw, and we're going to stone her to death. That's the law. And Jesus stoops down, and they're all carrying on this conversation about what to do. And he's writing. The Bible tells us, I just read, he's writing in the earth. Writing things. And he looks up and he said, He who is without sin, let him throw the stone at her first. And then he goes back down to writing more in the sand. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst. You know what I think? The Bible doesn't tell us, but it says he was writing. You know what I think? I think Jesus was writing down the flaws and the sins of all the accusers. And as he wrote, liar, as he wrote, cheater, as he wrote, thief, as he wrote, drunkard, when each person that fell in that category saw that, they turned and laughed and turned and laughed because they slowly were leaving as he was writing in the earth. And then Jesus looked up and they were all gone. And he looked at the lady caught in the very act of adultery and said, Where's your accusers? And he raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. He said to her, Woman, where are those accusers? There's no one here to condemn you. She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You notice she called him Lord? She was probably a believer. She called him Lord. Don't worry about your past mistakes, your past errors, your past mess ups, your past screw ups. Jesus wants to have fellowship with you. He wants you to know that he's hanging with you all the time, everywhere. He wants to know that you have power. Luke 9:23. Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. It's all about him. It's not about us. Just let him do it. You can't do it. Just let him do it. We're going to go ahead and sing a song here, and I'm just going to I'm going to leave things open if you want to come pray. If you have anything you need, if you want that encounter that you haven't felt, if you want to realize you have the indwelling of Jesus Christ, that you walk in heavenly places, get it. Just come get it. Get it where you're sitting. You know, but don't leave here today not knowing that. Don't leave here not knowing that. There's two people in here who want that, who want more of Jesus, who want to feel that. I feel some of my spirit. I'll share it with you right now. You don't want to come up front, and you don't have to. When you leave here today, you just spend the day thinking about Jesus, thinking about the best that He wants for your life, thinking about Him wanting to erase all those things that you're thinking right now. He wants those things erased. And He wants you to know that He's there and with you. And when you go home today, you do that. And you will realize, you, as the day progresses, you are going to feel and know and feel and know. And by evening, you are going to know without a doubt that Jesus is dwelling with you. I really feel that's for two people in here this morning. And I'm excited for you. This is going to be a fun day to get all that worked out and to find out the King's right here with me. Amen. Does anybody have anything else for the good of the service? Father God, we just uplift Your mighty, magnificent, holy, omnipotent name, thanking You and praising You for everything in our life, the good, the bad. We just praise You for it, Lord. Father, I ask that the people in this house today, they grow in You, that You just give them wisdom beyond measure,
that as your word says, they would all prosper and be in health. That you will give them wisdom and knowledge, Father God. I pray that you just minister to those today. You speak to their hearts. I pray for everyone in this house that you show them that you want the very best for them, Lord Jesus. And those challenges, those battles, those obstacles they're facing, let them know that you're walking them through them, Father God. We just thank you and honor you and give you all the praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.